If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast presented by BetOnline.ag. We love those guys. The online gaming website of choice for the Even Money Podcast with the best odds and the fastest payouts. They know that this is the podcast you come to for winners in the NFL. And they want to sponsor it. And congrats to them. He is the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football gambling. His name is Steve Fezzik, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Steve, glad to have you aboard. Lots to talk to. We're going to have Dave Mason from Bet Online. Always enjoy when you and Dave Mason go back and forth. The handicapper for Bet Online. I feel like I learned a lot, just like through osmosis, just through listening. I don't even know. What is osmosis, Bri? Before I won't even ask Steve that. Bri, do you know what osmosis is?
Yeah, I know.
But you can't explain it, can you?
Sure I can. Yeah.
What is it?
It is a process by which molecules of a solvent tend to pass through a semi-permeable membrane from a less concentrated solution into a more concentrated one, thus equalizing the concentrations on each side of the membrane.
Bri, you are really, really quick on the internet machine. Really quick.
How old that you just impressive. Sounded right there? The internet machine.
Internet machine. That was impressive how quickly you pulled it up on the internet machine because you clearly did not know what osmosis was. At any rate, we're going to have Dave Mason. We got a bunch of stuff to get into. I want to get Dave Mason's thoughts, just kind of rehashing the NCAA tourney masters, hear how the books did on that stuff. And then move on to some other things, NBA playoffs. I know Steve has some thoughts on Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods moving forward. A lot to get to here. So without further ado, did I tell you my Twitter handle? I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, the former NFL offensive lineman. I told you about Steve. Let's do it. All right, so Dave, we don't do this that often. We usually spend most of the time looking forward, you know, movement, odds, but we didn't get you on before the NCAA tournament or before the Masters. So I guess I'm just curious, looking back on it now, how did the NCAA tournament end up doing for you guys? What was the what were the highs and lows, if you will?
It was decent. It wasn't, you know, our best of NCAA tournaments, but the overall action was decent. It's one of the biggest events of the year, of course, and it started slow, but towards the end, the action got better and better. We ended up we lost on the championship game. It was the biggest bet championship game in the history of the company, biggest bet Final Four in the history of the company. The result really didn't go our way. The public was on Villanova, so kudos to them for that, and kudos to Villanova. They absolutely were dominant the whole tournament. So the Final Four games were okay. We actually needed Villanova versus Kansas, so that went well. But overall, decent tournament. The action was good, especially towards the end. The biggest bet championship game in the history, we did lose. So whatever. Congratulations to the bettors and congratulations to Villanova.
So, Dave, what you said started out slow. Do more people – like, talk to me about the money bet on the first and second round versus the Sweet 16 round versus the Final Four. Well, I'm curious.
Yeah, no, I mean, it started out slow as a little. I guess I meant from our standpoint of what we won, lost. It wasn't the best margin-wise for us. But no, I mean, the NCAA tournament, it's those first few days are crazy, the action that's coming in. Last year was better than this year. But no, the action was good. It's one of the biggest bet events of the year, you know, next to the Super Bowl and kick off the NFL and that kind of stuff. So we were happy with the action. Could have been better early on, but we picked up the steam as it went on.
What are you typically rooting for? Are a lot of people early on betting on the underdogs, and you guys are rooting on the favorites or vice versa?
Nah, usually the public's on the chalk. I mean, you know, the public is usually on the favorites. And, you know, the NCAA tournament is kind of interesting, too, because a lot of the recreational bettors, they take those seeds into account, too. So, I mean, I can't think of a specific game, but let's say – a 12 seed is only like 2-point underdog versus a 5 seed, people, the recreational guys, will really think that's out of whack when history says it really isn't that out of whack. Those teams are a lot closer, you know, but they'll look at those seeds and see, wow, only 2-point spread. So they'll think that favorite, there's a lot more value on the favorite, so they'll pound that favorite. You know what I mean? So they it's kind of unique where the bettors seem to, the recreational bettors at least, seem to take those seeds into account too. So, you know, if there's a wide margin in the seeds, but the point spread really isn't that wide, they'll pound that favorite even more. So, you know, it's always interesting to see games like that, you know, where, you know, the odds and the sharps, they all know that this game is supposed to be a lot closer than the seeding suggests, but the recreational guys just look at that seeding and say, whoa, something's wrong here. They, you know, 13 against a 4 and it's only whatever, 5 points or whatever, pound it, you know, something like that. So that's always interesting to see every year.
Steve always talks about, you know, rather than betting a certain team to win it, to just bet that team to win each game. I'm assuming, Steve, if someone did that with Villanova, you probably don't have the numbers in front of you, but if someone did that with Villanova, they probably made a lot of money.
They actually did not make a lot of money. The reason being is Villanova destroyed their first two opponents, including Alabama, by 20-plus and beat everybody in the tournament by double digits. So their power rating spiked so high that their money lines were sky high. It turns out if you started with a dollar and bet them throughout the tournament, you'd only wind up with a little less than $4. If you'd bet them pre-tournament, I believe at Bet Online, you could have gotten them 5-1. So an exception to the rule. Dave, I wanted to ask you, I would think, although you said you lost in the finals, in your futures pool, bettors don't like to bet the prohibitive favorite or the number one favorite and only get 4 or 5-1 on a team like Villanova. I imagine you scooped the pot, taking down everyone who took flyers on all the other teams, right?
Yeah, we did. We did good on the futures. Not as you know, those futures are open all year. So we were, you know, Villanova was a popular bet all throughout the season. So we profited, but you know, probably if you're just talking action we took, you know, from Selection Sunday on, yes, you're correct, but you factor in all that money came in during the season. I mean, they were I think the second most popular bet count, which doesn't really relate 100% to how much the public won, because they did have some of the shorter sides throughout the season, but still, you know, they're 8-1, 10-1 throughout the regular season, and preseason I think they're 25-1 or so, you know, when we opened them last year. So, you know, we profited, but it wasn't, when you factor in the regular season and preseason and the off-season stuff, you know, it wasn't as good as we would think.
Another question, we talked about the public betting, the seed numbers. I would imagine the poster child for that round one was Miami of Florida, 6 seed against Loyola, an 11 seed, and the spread was only 1.5. That's got to be the sort of game that the book does great on, because the public backs the Miami team laying the 1.5, right?
Well, there you go. And thank you. I was trying to pull an example out of the air, and I just couldn't think of one. So thank you so much for covering me there. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the seeding is 5 seeds off, but the spread is only 1.5. So, you know, the sharps like yourself and the bookies know what's going on. But, you know, the recreational guys who are looking at those seeds and filling out their brackets, and no way in hell a 11 team could beat a 5 team, whatever. And oh, my God, only 1.5 points. So, yeah, they're pounding the heck out of, you know, the higher seed team that's only given 1.5. Perfect example.
One more question for you. I imagine you had a few bettors that literally got wiped out playing the bridge jumper money line in parlays or straight up on Virginia. The number one seed finally loses to the number 16. Curious how that result impacted your book.
Yeah, it was good. But no, we got beat up on the, actually got, it helped on parlays. Yeah. There's big money line parlays, but you know, we had a money line out there, and there were some people betting that money line. Whenever you have those huge underdog money lines, people like those lottery tickets. So we actually got beat up on that money line on that upset. So, spread we did okay. It was kind of choppy, to tell you the truth. So that specific game actually went to the books, or actually went to the players, just because of that underdog money line lottery ticket people were placing.
What about the Masters, and how much of an impact you saw on your end from Tiger Woods being in it? Does that make a big difference?
Massive difference. I mean, you know, it was the biggest bet Masters in the history of the company, by far. It was about 35% more action than 2017, and we were, and that a lot of that, you know, a couple things. We are growing year on year, but Tiger being back is huge. I mean, this the action that was coming. I think it was Sunday before the tournament, so another 3 or 4 days of action left to come in. We already had more bets on the futures than we did in 2017's Masters. So, yeah, the action was great. Result was good, very good. You know, Tiger not placed, not winning, not placed in top 20, top 10, top 5, etc. Was really good for the house. We needed it. Reed was a really good result for the house. You know, we got beat up a little bit on Spieth and McIlroy finishing top 5, top 10, etc. But overall, no complaints on the Masters. The action was awesome. And yes, a lot of that has to do with Tiger. It's amazing how much one man, even though he hasn't won a major and going on a decade now, I guess it'll be a decade officially once the U.S. Open happens. I think the U.S. Open, that's the last major he won. But yeah, it's amazing how one guy who, especially who's over the hill and everything, can just drive so much action just because he's been, you know, pretty decent as of late and healthy. And, hopefully he'll be healthy the rest of the summer, because it really, the golf product is just driven on him more than any other sport is driven on any other, player. So yeah, healthy and half decent Tiger makes the sports books very happy. As long as he doesn't win. Because if he wins, we would have lost a freaking ton. We would have lost a ton. We had a special promo, too. We had a promo. If he wins, we were going to pay second place out as a winner. So if that hit, we would have got killed on Tiger, and we would have paid out second place, too. So we definitely were rooting against Tiger.
What I guess my question there is, how much of it is – and maybe you kind of answered it there, but how much of it is people betting – on Tiger versus how much of it is people are going to watch because of Tiger, so that they're going to bet on the event in some way, when otherwise, if they weren't going to watch it, they weren't going to bet on it at all?
Yeah, it's probably both. I mean, you know, Tiger was the highest bet count by far. I think it was twice as much was bet on Tiger than the next golfer, which I think was Bubba, was second. So, you know, you take a lot of action, but, you know, those guys do come in. Okay, I'm going to watch it. Cool. Tiger's healthy. I'm going to watch it. So I'm going to place a bet on him. But then again, they start betting on all the other props and might take a flyer on one of the other golfers. So it's both. You know, Tiger will be the most popular bet, will be exposed on Tiger. No, definitely. But there's carryover too there, that, you know, they're going to bet on other stuff too. And they're going to bet live betting. We had live betting on all 4 days for the first time in history of the company. We did great on that. So all that stuff. Yeah, it's both.
So Steve, you were saying all along, fade Tiger, and you also do the live betting stuff on golf, right?
Absolutely. And so I actually had a bet on Tiger not to win. I laid 12 to make a dollar, which I thought was a complete bargain right before the tournament started, and various heads-up matchups. We talked about that and won them all, playing the top 10 golfers in the world against Tiger. You know, a question for Dave, I won't call it a frustration, but something I'd like to see more of, and I'm with the public here. I have huge interest because of Tiger, and largely because the public bets the wrong way and they bet on Tiger. But some of the books, like, they just put up their traditional matchups, and you had to kind of hunt to find the Tiger matchups and the heads up. I would like to see, because I don't think I'm alone here, almost like click on a Tiger Woods golf prop. So instead of just normally in the drop down menu, it's just golf props. I'd like you to separate all the Tiger Woods ones, because I think that's where, like, half of the people, they're only betting on the Tiger Woods ones. That's what's driving the interest.
You know, so we're on the same page. I actually, the week before, I actually suggested the exact same thing, but it didn't happen. You know, I wanted Tiger props in the bet menu itself. That way it just jumps out. And we actually had them earlier. We had the Tiger props listed earlier, and they had a good selection. And they were up by themselves for a while, but they're under regular Masters props or something. I forget what. And then as they added more, they kind of got mixed in with the others. But no, I agree. So for something like this, and I'll suggest it for the next major as well. And maybe I'll send them this recording and your voice talking about it, so I have a little backup. But yeah, and that's kind of marketing stuff that I agree with. Anything to make it easier and jump off the page and make it easier for the common bettor, just to find those props. I mean, that's little stuff that, you know, sometimes the guys on the stage don't think about, but the people marketing do. You know, we want the ease of how to place a bet and how to find the bet. That's what we're always thinking about, where they're just put up the numbers, they'll find them. You know what I mean? So it's always kind of sometimes you're butting heads a little bit. But no, I agree 100%. And I'm going to suggest that again if we have a healthy Tiger heading into the next major or two.
Ross, you probably don't have this problem because you don't deal with it, but I can tell you, as like a football and basketball and baseball bettor, whenever I venture into betting another sport, the number one frustration that I have as a bettor is I just can't find it. And to use an example, like in soccer, there's so many different leagues that sometimes someone will give me a team to bet, and they won't even tell me whether it's the Champions League or the English Premier League. And of course, I should know it, but I don't follow soccer closely enough. So when it's like the premier soccer game, finding a way to feature it and making it go to the top of the menu just helps the square balls like me in those sports that we don't follow.
I agree 100%. You bring up soccer, and that is such a unique sport where, you know, I'm looking at our bet menu now, and it's just holy hell. There's so many, especially since we're a U.S.-facing book. So, you know, 90%+ of our action is coming from the U.S., and, you know, there's not as many diehard guys in the U.S. for soccer, so you just have to make it stick out. So, you know, I've recommended before that maybe we put, you know, we have all the leagues, but maybe, you know, some of those games are for this weekend or even next week, but maybe we just have another entry like today's games, and they can click on the games and all of today's games are in there or something. But you know, soccer's a great example of the challenges of making it stand out on your site.
What about the Masters, just in terms of your biggest events? I know we talked about this before with the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament and a big fight, like a Mayweather fight. I'm just curious where, you know, kind of on your hierarchy, both the tournament and the Masters fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's the tournaments, you know, when you're talking hierarchy, you know, you're talking, it's kind of the event itself or the day itself. You know, you know, Super Bowl is the king, of course, but it is only one day. So those big events, you're talking Super Bowl, you're talking football kickoff is massive. March Madness is right there. It's right there in that, you know, top three probably. Then you group the next grouping and you're talking about stuff like, you know, Kentucky Derby's a big day, but it is only one day. A huge fight like that McGregor Mayweather fight last summer. I mean, that was Super Bowl level. That was the biggest sign up day we've ever had in the history of the company by far. And that blew out previous to that. It was the Mayweather Pacquiao fight. So that just shows you what a huge fight can do. But unfortunately, those fights are few and far between. So Masters is probably even that, if Tiger's golfing, that is, you know, that's probably in that kind of a third group. You know what I mean? That's below the Super Bowl and kickoff and March Madness and that kind of stuff. And if Tiger's golfing, you know, it's a couple rungs below, but it's still a big fan. The good thing is that, you know, now we're after March Madness, it's quote unquote the slow season. You know, it's when you have to make, although this and Masters, even with Tiger, is going to be nothing close to March Madness or Mayweather fight, Mayweather McGregor fight. We have to make it the most it can be, because now we have to maximize these secondary and tertiary events because we, you know, so many people left after football and so many people leave after March Madness that we need to really capitalize off these as much as possible. So although it might not be anywhere near big as a Super Bowl, we have to try to make it as be as big as possible, especially from the marketing side of things. We have to make as much noise. That's why we had some great promotions, you know, for the Masters that people were excited about. So we really have to make as much noise and get as many people excited for the Masters as possible.
What about the NFL draft, Dave? Let's dive into the NFL draft a little bit. You know, we're a couple weeks away now. How has that typically been for you, and where do most people, how do most people lay bets on that?
Well, you know, it's funny, it's a good segue into this, because, I mean, this is the kind of event that used to just be, what the hell, let's put up odds in NFL draft, there's nothing else to do this weekend, you know, it's in that slow season, and it's fun to talk about, and they'll be talking about ESPN, take some bets, whatever. This is turning into a massive betting event, and I know Vegas is now offering odds on this, too. I think they're finally like, holy hell, we might be missing out on something here. It is huge. Last year, we tripled. It's always getting bigger and bigger, but last year we tripled the action compared to 2016. And just looking at the early numbers, our guys put up a lot of early stuff already, and we're gonna exceed that by far. It looks like, you know, we got more stuff coming. It's such a fun event. I mean, you know, like I said, we're U.S. facing books, so NFL and football are bread and butter. So I always like it. Again, from a marketing standpoint, because, you know, after the Super Bowl, it's such a challenge to keep a lot of those football guys around. A lot of them, if they're up money that Monday after the Super Bowl, they're asking for a withdrawal. You know what I mean? Or if they're busted out, that they busted out in the Super Bowl, you're not going to see them again until next late August, early September. But what we see is a lot of this gives us an opportunity to talk to these guys again, right? In April, instead of, you know, August and September, we're talking to them about NFL again, and it has turned into a very big betting event where a lot of these guys who we haven't seen since the Super Bowl do start reloading their accounts, or if they have money in there, they're coming back and they're betting this event because it is turning into such a big betting event. So, you know, it is a lot. We put a lot of energy into it. We always have a really good offering. We're going to be offering live betting during part of the first round this year, not sure how long, at least the first 10 picks, because there is a big appetite out there for NFL draft betting. I mean, I'm just looking at the action now. It's through the roof on stuff we've had up there for a little while. So, yeah, we always love the NFL draft.
Steve, what questions do you have about the NFL draft going into it from a betting standpoint?
I think instead of a question, I guess I'll make the question. Can I request a special prop? And I really think you're right, a ton of action. Over under on the number of picks it's going to take to get the top three or the top four quarterbacks, example, Darnold, Rosen, and Allen, set their over the composite of over under of those three at, say, 8, and will they go over or under, something along those lines, because I think that the bettors love to bet on quarterbacks chosen in the first round, and I think if you do more props associating with the glamour quarterbacks, you'd write a ton of action.
No, absolutely, and you know, I was just talking with our props manager the other day, and we have more stuff coming, and you're right, it's the glamour positions that do take most of the action. You know, you can even with like the NFL Combine a month ago, you know, I've learned over the years, you know, I'm trying to handicap there the 40 on some defensive back, and it's just a kind of a waste of time because at the end of the day, the bettors are going to bet on the 40-yard dash for the running back or the wide receiver. They just aren't betting that. So no, you're 100% right that the more odds on the glamour positions, definitely. I mean, I'm looking at our overall number one pick and just the action already coming in on this, the exposures are just through the roof. I mean, if Barkley Oh my God, look at that exposure. The big red number. They're betting Rosen, Mayfield a little bit. We'll be rooting for Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. But no, definitely more of those props are to come. We already had the second quarterback selected. Action's good on that. Second running back selected, since the first running back is pretty much a sure thing. First wide receiver selected. But yeah, definitely more quarterback props are coming, and I'll throw that suggestion to the props guys, see what they can come up with.
And one of the challenges you face is when you're drafting these props, similar to the Super Bowl props, you got to be very, very careful with the language. For instance, trying to put a point spread on where a team is, one player is going to go versus another. What does a -6.5 really mean? That's got to be a problem to make sure that the wording is absolutely clear cut to the bettors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I almost, you know, when it comes to those matchups, I've always suggested, and you know, just trying to find, not even trying to avoid the spread, man. That's just one more thing to look at, one more thing to confuse the bettors. I've always been more of, you know, just try to find two guys that are right about the same, you know, the same spot in the draft, and then just, you know, juice one side. So that seems to be so much easier to understand, and it creates less problems.
I agree completely. Is try to find the guys on the mock drafts that are like 50-50 and say who's going to go first, Saquon Barkley or Baker Mayfield, props like that everyone can understand, right?
100%. And you can still get a little funky, you know, if you want to pair up the two Georgia running backs and make one, you know, -200, the other one take back +160 or whatever, go for it, you know. But you know, it's just, you know, even I look at those spreads on some of these guys, you know, spreads on where the one will go versus. Yeah, it's just one more thing to look at, and you're counting backwards, you know, and it's just kind of starting to get confused. So yeah, definitely money line versus money line, who goes first, keep it simple.
With the Georgia running backs, they tell me that Michelle should be like a -450 favorite over Chubb. I know all the money's been on him, but you never can be certain until they actually pick, right?
That's right. And, you know, we don't have that one open yet. We're going to have it. I think Vegas had it open, and I was shocked by their opening number. You know, I wasn't thinking 450, but I was thinking a lot closer to 260 open or something like that, or closer to 300. So we'll see what we open at. But you know, I was surprised. But once again, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You never know in a draft. All it takes is one team to be enamored with a player.
Dave, that's all I have. Really appreciate it. Love, love, love getting your side of it and hearing about the draft. Kind of gets me fired up. I'm going to be there, and who knows? Maybe I'll fire up a draft bet over at betonline.ag. I guess my question would be, I lied. How quickly, you know, like everybody thought it was going to be Darnold number one, right? And now the last couple days, there have been all kinds of talk that's going to be Josh Allen. How quickly do you guys change the odds based on, you know, the latest rumor?
You know, the draft is very – it's a very unique event, and it's very challenging. I mean, I've been doing this for probably 12 years, NFL draft, and every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like I said. But that means those red numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger, because it is a challenge for the guys. You know, there's not as much science into it. You know, your blogs and mock drafts and rumors, and half these rumors are BS, and you know, it's almost like the player, like somebody was asking me the other day on Twitter, and he's like, well, doesn't, you know, the player, don't you guys have the same rumors? And I'm explaining to them, and it's like, you know, it's, these guys are managing all these other props too. They're not on these NFL mock drafts all day looking at rumors or everything. So, you know, somebody with some kind of, you know, Mayock can come out with his mock draft or something and have Josh Allen number one, or there's some big rumor that he's flying into, you know, a city or whatever to work out for a team, and we're not on top of that as much. You know, it's not coming up on the Don Best screen or something, so our guys aren't moving right away. You know, so players can be getting that information before we are. So it is a challenge, man. It's this NFL draft. It's almost one of those events. If you break even, you know, we're high-fiving each other, because it just because of that, the players, and, you know, there's junkies, man. There's people that love the NFL draft out there, like myself, that are just paying attention to stuff every day and then when they can make money on it and they, you know, they have the information pretty much as fast as we do, if not faster, when they're just concentrating on that 100%, well, you know, it can be a plus EV for the players. So,
Dave, would it be fair to say that you've got your specialty guys red flagged? So it's almost like a situation where you take a bet from two of these guys on Josh Allen to go number one. Josh Allen could be like plus 350. You might move him right to plus 180 and just wait for all the money to come in from the public on the other guys, because these two guys have told you, hey, there's a much better chance than what the market realizes that Allen's going to go one.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, we discussed this during the regular season, NFL, that we have that ticker, you know, bets coming in, big bets and sharp bets. And these guys, you know, are highlighted in red. These guys are long-term winners. They're getting the best of the number, you know, the sharps. And when these guys bet, you know, these guys aren't betting for entertainment. These guys are betting because they think they have an advantage. So when they bet, it doesn't matter if it's on a Monday Night Football game, the Super Bowl, or some freaking soccer league that I've never even heard of before, or the NFL draft, or whatever, tiddlywinks. When they're betting, we're moving. So 100%, that's tool we're using, that it doesn't matter if it's the Super Bowl, the NFL draft, or whatever. When that guy's betting, we're listening and we're moving right away.
Dave, you are the man. Thanks so much for the time.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Excellent, excellent stuff, as always, from our guy, Dave Mason. While we're talking about Dave Mason, why don't you head on over to betonline.ag if you haven't already. Use promo code EVENMONEY on your first deposit to earn a 50% welcome bonus, up to $2,500 worth of sportsbook free plays. Look, they've been servicing U.S. bettors for two decades. This is not a fly-by-night operation. They've got the best live betting software that I've seen. You can also get 100% poker and casino bonus if that's your thing. But if betting the games is your thing, that's cool. Go to betonline.ag. Use promo code EVENMONEY to score your $2,500 bonus. It is that easy. Again, promo code EVENMONEY at betonline.ag. That'll do it for this week's edition. We will, of course, be back next week. For those of you that love learning about different things, Fantasy Feast with Evan Silva is always great to have more knowledge dropped. If you're into the draft and you think you might want to bet on the draft, I suggest binge listening to Fran Duffy and I on the College Draft podcast. And, of course, you can also listen to the breakdowns with Greg Cosell and I on Thursday's edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. All good stuff for you there. Other than that, I think we're done. You guys know about the Amazon banner ads, I think, over at the website. That's a good way if you want to ask Steve a question. Apple Podcast rankings, always huge for us and much appreciated, as are those of you that download it multiple times on multiple devices. I think we're done here. Good luck, everybody. Hope you win some money, whatever you're betting on these days.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.